skeptic among believers and the believer among skeptics.
Are you a good witch or a bad witch?
Who are the witches?
Magic, necromancy, and witchcraft.
Wake up! They're all about you! All around you!
They're not always.
Mm-hmm. The often heroic work of the witch.
The journalist with an inside knowledge of witchcraft.
It's a sex thing deep down, of course.
On the night of the witch's Sabbath, the coven of 13 gathers.
Hi everyone, welcome to Into the Dark on Radio Free Brooklyn. We're so excited to have you here for our first episode. We're talking all about divination, and we've got Swan here who's going to talk about tarot, and then later on we're going to read some of your letters and answer some of your occult questions, and then later we're going to play an interview I did earlier with a rat to take advantage of its latent psychic powers. So we've got a big show, super excited. Thanks for tuning in. Okay, so first let's just, hey Swan, how are you doing?
I'm doing very well. How are you?
I am doing so great.
Can I hear myself? Are you? That's okay if I'm not talking, but.
So, first episode, we're working out all those kinks.
It'd be really interesting to have you just talk to me, but no one can hear my responses.
That's sort of like when I talk to the dead, except also I can't hear their responses.
Oh, you can't?
I mean, in my heart, in my heart's ear,
it's
I can hear it.
Just impressions.
Yeah, you know, you gotta feel, get the sense of it, get the vibe. But I can hear you in my
headphones. I can hear myself too now, so that's really nice to know.
One of us. Yeah. Okay, cool. So let me give you an introduction. I don't know if you even need one, because I mean, Swan, as everyone should know already, especially if you've been listening today, is the host of Ink and Worm, which goes at 2 p.m. every Sunday here on Radio Free Brooklyn, one of the best shows we've got. I'm a huge fan.
Oh, thanks.
And also, in addition to that, Swan is a yoga instructor and a river writing facilitator. And you can follow her on Twitter at Ink and Worm and on Instagram at Swan Dristi, SwanDrsti.
That was so great.
I mean, I take you seriously, and I take magic seriously. So let's get into talking about tarot. For those of you who are unfamiliar with this practice, which, you know, is probably not a ton of you, tarot is a form of divination, so predicting the future or maybe learning secret things through secret means about the present or the past, that involves using 78 playing cards. The first tarot deck that anyone has a record of is from 1430 in northern Italy, and the word has an etymology that has been lost to history. It may be related to the Taro River in northern Italy, near where tarot cards first started appearing in Europe, or it may be related to a series of Arabic words, including turuk and tarak. Cool. So, what got you into tarot?
Mutual friends. Or not mutual to us, but I had a friend who did it, and I was like, what are you doing? And then they approached it the same way I approach it, in that when people ask about it, I give them cards and I'm like, you do it and I'll talk you through it, rather than me doing it for you. So if you go and get a tarot reading, someone's going to be like, pick a deck, and sometimes they'll incorporate like two or three decks, but they'll like do the shuffling and you'll just like do interactive things, and then they'll turn over the cards and tell you this card means this and it could be this and this might be happening and does this resonate, and they kind of explain things to you. My friend was very much like, here's the cards, shuffle them, okay, draw some cards. And that's how I like to do it with other people, of like, here's this thing, just play with it.
Right.
Yeah. And so they did it every morning as a practice of inner work, of like grounding themselves in something larger than themselves.
Right.
I do it more spontaneously, and I also incorporate the I Ching, which is the Chinese version-ish, incorporates elements and the five element theory and that kind of stuff.
Could you talk more about the five element theory? Because I am personally very unfamiliar with that.
Well, I have I Ching here. So it works with hexagrams. And basically what you do is, some people do with coins. My friends kindly made these little wooden things with numbers on them.
Okay.
You have numbers And then you use the numbers to create a hexagram. And then the hexagram kind of is your fortune or like where you're at. A lot of times people will have a question in mind when they're approaching any sort of divination. They'll be like, usually a very common one is love. Like,
right.
Ooh, there's this new person. Is he the love of my life? Or for me, my grounding question was like, how do I move more towards my like full self? How do I move more towards like this being that I'm capable of being that I'm not being now? How do I, you know, step more into my power?
Right.
So the hexagram, I love the voice of it, and I could read a little bit about it.
Oh, please do.
The one that I love was given to me by the same friends, actually, and it's the Book of Changes, and I haven't prepared anything, by the way. So it says the first thing is the introduction, and then the first thing it says is, this is just a book, and, like, the power is in you, and yes, these things are old, but ultimately, like, you're the person doing it.
Right.
And that's something I love about tarot, too, is, like, sometimes the cards are reflecting your worries or your fears because that's where your mind is. And so it's an opportunity for reflection.
Yeah.
And sometimes it's a legitimate, like, I'm stuck. Please help me get unstuck. And then it, like, gives you this information that you can process. So I feel like there's so much technical stuff happening right now.
Yeah, it's amazing. So we here at Radio Free Brooklyn have a new board, and it's covered in fancy lights, and I don't know
it
how
came,
it works.
It's this week. This week is new.
Gosh, it's like a sort of magical
it's
Christmas.
It's its own form of divination.
Actually, so there's a great form of divination involving computers called cybermancy, which is a great word. I'm a huge fan of that word. It's very Philip K. Dick.
Yes.
Cool. So when you use the tarot, you do it fairly spontaneously.
I do.
But how regularly is that? Like, do you find yourself just suddenly, like, maybe once a morning every week or something like that? Or?
I'm a creature of waves, so sometimes I'll do it every couple days, and sometimes it'll be a couple months between sessions. I also have a couple decks on my phone that I really love because I can be sitting on the train being like, I'm thinking the same thoughts 1,000 times. Oh, tarot cards. Help me shed some light on this thing that's been in my brain for the past 20 minutes, and then I can, like, spontaneously process it.
That's fantastic. Where did you... Are those apps? Or those...
They are apps, and I'll tell you the ones I have.
Awesome.
And so I have a folder called Be Well,
nice.
And they're under the Be Well folder. And I have Druidcraft, which is based on druidry, and that whole religion, I think, is... It's a religion,
yeah.
And those symbols and that history. I have the Druid Oracles, which is more plants and animals, because I really love being connected to the to the natural world in that way, and especially living in New York City. Sometimes you're like, I need some animals or some plants to juxtapose this like urban environment and 8 million people like pushing in on my space.
Yeah, I keep seeing like things happening to pigeons and wondering, is this an augur? Is this a thing that I need to interpret right now as a sign from Zeus of what my day shall be? But most of the time it's just sort of, oh, that pigeon looks unwell.
Yeah, I have some morning doves that wake me up. I have two couples of morning doves that wake me up in the morning because I feed them bird seed. And if I sleep in, they are like, hey, we're here. So I feel like that's my relationship with nature is like reinforce those relationships with animals, with non-human sentient beings, perhaps. And then the last deck I have is just for fun. It's steampunk because, yes, you're it exists. And it's really fun.
Thanks, Internet.
So my history with tarot, though, started with a deck that I went to my first reading I went on my honeymoon to Park City, and at the time was very religious and perhaps like had blinders on. And then I got divorced and went back to Park City and was like, I'm going to get a tarot reading. And this woman pulled up this deck, and this one deck, the images stuck with me, and it was the Shadowscapes deck. And I'm not sure who the artist is, but they're very like ethereal, fantasy, whimsical, like the soft transitions, really just beautiful illustrations. And the visuals were sticking with me. So I went back and got that deck. And for some reason, it didn't speak to me anymore. And so I gave it away. And I'm a big fan of like letting decks come to you and go to you based on the artwork, which is why I brought my decks and I laid them out so that you could maybe pick one and we could talk about it. And because I'm a big fan of like finding the visuals and the words that speak to you, which is why I like the I Ching. I really like the voice that comes out of it, of like, you know, find balance and stay true to like, you know, hold the true principles that are going to better your life and let go of things like anger and resentment and jealousy because they're not serving you. Right. And they talk about the like higher being as the sage or the creative. And I really love those visuals, like the sage, this wise being that has more, you know, access to deeper information than I have, more of a bigger picture than I have. And I love the creative because what artist is going to like, this creative being's helping me step into my creative being.
Exactly. It's a great sort of almost, I don't want to say rite of evocation, but that sort of idea, like I'm going to take on this persona until I can like become enough like it that it's just a part of who I am.
The sound just got so much better.
I know, right?
But not entirely.
So another thing you can't see because this is the radio. Tom,
we're doing some cyber divination.
We're trying to test the ethers that are the internet and are our own voices. Oh man.
Okay. I shouldn't draw attention to it, perhaps.
I mean, you know, we can. This is all about pulling back the veil of reality, and so we can show the man behind the curtain. I mean, we can't show, but I can describe the man behind the curtain. His name is Tom, and he's. About
he's
an inch taller
focused.
Than I am, and he is working a very complicated and Byzantine soundboard right now. And thank you for doing that, by the way.
Yeah, thank you for being here.
I'm 10 seconds behind you guys.
Oh, okay. great. So you were saying earlier that you were sort of like, when you first approached tarot, it felt kind of like a little out of bounds?
Well, I grew up I grew up Mormon, which I've mentioned on my show, and obviously we are a product of the experiences we come from.
Yeah.
And that really shaped me, but as I left that, I was really reactive to organized religion in general, and I went to the Unitarians, and there was still like this element of like, something feels, you know, it feels like someone's telling me, I don't know. There was still this element of like, I can't handle this. So for me, divination came about as this way of connecting to the divine with myself. I could shut everyone else out and be with the cards and sit and meditate and be like, I have these questions about my life or the universe. And so for me, in a strange way, it kind of replaced that relationship I had with religion and the way that religion fit in my life.
Okay, this is really exciting. I think we should just, let's pick a card right now.
Well, first you have to pick a deck. So I have the decks on my phone. We have Druidscape. We have the Druid Oracles. So Druidscape is more Druid stories of people in the Druid, like, mythology. Druid Oracles, animals and plants. We have Steampunk, which is just fun. Like,
right.
you just, it's just fun. I have Mother Peace, which is built into, like, female archetypes. And I have the fairies, who are very, very magical. Mm. And I have the Wild Unknown,
that
which is very beautiful and dark.
Is huge.
And then I have the I Ching. So you have to pick one, and then we'll go from there.
Okay, I mean, so I want to hear this I Ching voice that you were talking about. So let's I Ching it.
So the I Ching is a little bit more involved initially. And will you give me permission to act as your vessel? Like, my hand will pick the things that your hand will pick.
I do hereby give you such permission.
Okay. So basically, for me, I had some beautiful friends. I don't have a pen, shucks. Oh, I have one. No, I'm lying.
Success.
So the I Ching you can do with coins, and it's pretty easy to Google. But basically, my friends made me coins that have numbers on them. So your first number was the number 8.
Okay.
So all we're going to do is write a number 8. And this is the first line of the hexagram, which is confusing because it's the bottom line. Because it's Eastern, which the bottom top, you know, different directions. So your second one was also an 8. Your third one is an 8. You're just a man of 8s.
That's kind of, I feel like I should be worried about this.
No.
Okay.
And there's never any, you shouldn't be afraid of anything. We've got our fourth line, which is an 8. You can hear, I'm shaking this up.
You just have 8s in the bag.
No, 7.
Ha!
The coins needed to prove to you that there was a number besides 8 and 7.
I asked, they answered.
So with the I Ching, you're creating a hexagram. There's changing lines, you don't have any. So we won't talk about it other than the fact that if you have a 6 or a 9, it changes, which means there's just more information.
Okay.
Even lines are broken, so you have 8, 8, 8, 8 are all broken lines. 7, I don't hear myself anymore. Should I wait?
I can still hear you, so...
Okay.
I think our 7
is, odd, so it's a solid line, and then a 7. So how I remember it is even, even... odd, odd. Even has two syllables, so it's broken. Odd has one syllable, so it's a solid line.
Okay.
Now we find what elements or features your I-Ching. I'm not an expert, by the way. So if you want to email in corrections, Cooper can forward them to me. So,
oh, yeah. If you have actually, if you have any questions or anything you want to say about this episode, email us at intothedarkrfb@gmail.com. Send us your questions. Send us your thoughts. And if you want like a topic for a future episode, where we are so open to basically everything except necromancy, did a lot of research into that, and it's just so involved. I don't have the core strength to dig that much. It's too much work to raise the dead. There, I said it.
If they're gone, they're gone. You gotta let them go.
I mean, you can just talk to them. You don't need to.
You can still communicate. They're still there.
No one needs zombies. No one needs
them. Okay, so there's this nice handy chart.
Okay.
That helps us Westerners connect to what the hexagram is. So your bottom hexagram is the bottom three lines, and we have broken, broken, broken. And so that correlates with the element of earth. So we have earth, and it's going to be under this top hexagram, which is solid, solid, and then broken on the bottom, which is related to wind. So basically we have wind over earth. This handy-dandy chart says wind over earth is the, like, process of the number 20.
Okay.
So we're going to go to this hexagram number 20, which is, I love this process. I don't know what it is about it, but just like relating to books, because my,
yeah.
But like a book is going to help me know something. So our hexagram is Quan, contemplation. And the little blurb says, by concentrating on higher laws, you acquire the power that underlies them. And the Chinese word quan can mean either contemplation or setting an example, depending on how it's pronounced. This hexagram incorporates both meanings, for what it teaches us is to set an example for others through our own contemplation of proper principles. A fundamental fact of consciousness is that we take on the attributes and energy of that which we focus our attention. In studying and meditating on the I Ching, we are concentrating on the underlying principles that govern the universe. Through contemplation of the wisdom such as principles such as independence, detachment, modesty, acceptance, and tolerance, we begin to embody them in our own lives. Their power informs our actions and practices, and we begin to have great influence as a result. Do you want me to continue?
I mean, let's keep going with like more of the numbers and see. Let's get a big picture before we get into the details.
Well, I mean, so for your hexagram, there wasn't any changing lines. If there's changing lines, there's some more specifics. So, for example, if, like, the first line changed, then we'd have this added gem of, like, others may not recognize the correctness of following the truth. The superior person leads them to this by deepening their own contemplation.
Okay.
So this speaks to the fact, like, the I Ching I really like because of this voice. It's more general, coming from a religion that's like, here's lots of rules. These are really general rules that I can agree with or disagree with, but they're just like, generally, you should try and set a good example to other people because that's how you're going to change your world.
Good broad advice.
Good broad advice.
I feel better already. This is great.
Good.
Cool. Let's get into one of those decks and check that out. Though I feel like this might doom us to spending like 20 minutes trying to describe the visuals of, say, something in that very large deck you've got there. This box, it is huge. It is larger than all of the other boxes.
It's by Kim Kranz, and I love the illustrations because they're very fine line detailed. Almost remind me of, like, tattoos.
Okay.
Like, ink, but lots of lines. So,
would you ever consider getting a tarot card tattooed on yourself, or is that a mistake?
No.
Okay.
If you Google this deck specifically, if you Google the wild unknown tattoos, you will find so many beautiful tattoos. People getting specific cards, like say, I love this card, I'm going to get this card. People will get that tattooed. Or people getting like so they're broken up into different houses.
Right.
You have the major arcana, which is like more Like the Empress, the World.
The Fool's Journey, it's called, right?
The Fool is one of the major arcana. And then you have these suits, which it's kind of related to playing cards because it evolved out of playing cards if you go back in the history.
Right.
So you have pentacles, wands, swords, and cups. And those symbolize different elements as well. So talking about the I Ching and the five element theory, this kind of has it as well. We have the pentacles, which is more like physical things, home, money, career, generosity, greed. You have wands, which is more creativity, inspiration. Wands are fire element, so it's like that spark, the dreams, the goals, mind, spirit. You have swords, which is a suit of action. It's your mind. It's thinking about things. It's conflict and power. It's a double-edged sword.
Huh?
So it's this like ability to like balance between these two dichotomies. And then the cups is usually associated with emotions. So what you're feeling about something, qualities of relationships, connections to other friendships, love, etc.
Cool.
So I just popped. And then so as in a deck of cards, you have different suits. So there's the ace through the 10. And those are like the numbers. And then you have in this deck the daughter, son, mother, father, which is the, what is it, the jack, the king, the queen, the something
man.
Else.
I don't. There is another one. Yeah.
I don't
this is terrible.
Use cards.
I haven't played cards in forever.
I think it's just the three, right?
Yeah. And then like there's the ace, which is not really.
Which is like this mystical creature that can be at the top or at the bottom, depending on what you're playing.
The ace is, it's flexible.
The ace is a symbolic of beginnings in tarot.
Oh, that makes sense, because like every beginning is also to some extent an ending and vice versa.
But it also holds potential.
Indeed.
Unactualized potential. Can go anywhere.
Just like this show. Everybody, tune in every month, just saying, because you're listening to Radio Free Brooklyn right now, Into the Dark, the show that goes into the dark so you don't have to.
Yeah, so you wanted to dive into this deck. How about you touch it?
I will, okay.
So I tell people, look at the cards. You can look at them face up or face down and pick one.
Okay, cool. Thank you.
Oh, you're so welcome.
Okay, so I'm shuffling this deck face down right now, so it's all mystery. We don't know what's going to happen. I am super...
Do you ever know what's going to happen?
Almost
really?
Never. Even when I think I do, I'm always wrong, which is...
Which is true to life.
I just like being surprised. It's nice. So pulling a card now, and we've got the Sun of Wands, and it's a snake wrapped around what appears to be a dandelion.
Sun, S-O-N, Sun of Wands.
And this is a gorgeous drawing, because the dandelion is sort of shooting out rays of light as though it were itself a sun with a U. So,
and there's a snake around it.
And actually, dandelions will come up later, which is really exciting, so watch out for that.
Ooh. One thing I really appreciate about this deck, you can see the page, it has the image and then a really succinct, like, set of words.
Yeah.
So I can read it all and I won't be, like, embarrassed about reading it all. The Sun of Wands is charming and adventurous, usually symbolic of, like, a prince character. Like, you know, not in high power, but, like, in a role, he's eventually going to step into that power.
Okay.
The Sun of Wands is a true charmer. He's handsome, adventurous, and seems to say all the right things.
Go on.
Some call him the White Knight of the Tarot.
Oh, shucks.
But at some point, you may find he becomes hard to know. Trust your instincts with this one. Perfection is an illusion.
That went so much better than I ever could have expected.
Yeah. Oh,
I feel great. This is great. Everything's going great. I'm sorry.
We're just winging this. We didn't pre-decide anything.
That's right. I did not pay you to do this.
I'm not being paid.
That's right. She's doing it for free. She doesn't even know that I brought beer because it's hidden behind a chair. There was kind of like a rush to get in here. Great.
As it always happens with your first show, my first show was so stressful. So you're doing great, by the way.
Thanks. Everyone's so supportive. This is great. But let's get back to magic. Okay, so have you ever made any sort of important life decisions based on...
Yes.
Tell me about it.
I moved to Brooklyn.
Based on tarot?
Based on tarot.
That's so cool.
I was living in Utah for many years, and every couple days would be like, gosh, I need to get out of Utah. And I'd be like, oh, but I just started dating this new boy, or I don't have enough money, or where would I go? There's so many places that I could go from here. And then finally was like, okay, I really need to leave and go somewhere. And like was like, okay, tarot deck, please help me decide where to go from here. And it seems like this is the case for me, is like you have your interaction with the cards, but then things happen in your life shortly afterwards, and you're like, oh, I wonder if this is what the cards were meaning, or this is what the cards were meaning. Like, I've right. had cards that are being like, you're going to have a sudden influx of wealth, and I'll find a $5 bill and be like, is this the influx of wealth? Because, you know, a random $5 is nice, but I wouldn't call it wealthy, per se. But it is, like, spontaneous money that I didn't expect. So, yeah. So my cards were basically like, leave, you just have to do it, you just have to do it, just say yes to the next opportunity. And I had some friends being like, hey, well, we're moving to Brooklyn, do you want to come with us? Yes. So the cards kind of were like, say yes to the next opportunity, and then the next opportunity came, and I said yes, and that's, here I am.
That's great. I mean, so every time I haven't used tarot cards in a while, because
because you like necromancy better.
Well, I don't. So the thing about necromancy. So I full disclosure. I've been working on a book about necromancy. It's a really long epic poem about necromancy and breakups, and that's actually coming out next week from Ghost City Press. So if you guys want to read Claudu Ferrata Nicto, which is what it's called, you can do that. So I've had it sort of on the brain for a while. But the thing about tarot cards is just I got into tarot cards because I was doing research on a poet called. James Merrill, and he was really into another poet called Yeats, and Yeats would do seances.
Wait, not Yeats? Yates.
I've always heard Yeats, but maybe that's because I like the idea that
William B.
Yeah, Butler. Yeats? I always thought it was, I don't actually, I'm not sure now.
The same person used tarot cards.
So Yeats actually did seances,
ooh.
And Merrill did Ouija boards. Yes. He actually wrote a whole book. Based that was dictated to him through a Ouija board that he was using with his boyfriend.
Wow.
And so when I was doing research on the two of them for like a paper about two poems they wrote and how they sort of reflected one another.
Wait, why?
Oh, college.
Okay, just checking.
It was actually the last paper I had to write for college. And it was due
the
after
only reason you write a paper.
I graduated. So, I mean, sometimes I want to write extracurricular papers now that,
me
I'm,
too.
A, now that I'm a quote-unquote
like, can someone
adult.
Assign me something with some parameters?
Hey guys, if you want to assign either of us a research paper or an English paper,
ooh.
Email us at intothedarkrfb@gmail.com and we will certainly respond in some manner or another.
Intothedarkrfb.
Like Radio Free Brooklyn. Intothedarkrfb@gmail.com.
Yeah,
intothedarkrfb@gmail.com was already taken by someone. I could find out who probably using either
email.
Or I could just email. Yeah, that's much easier than tarot
who
cards.
Are you? Why do you have the email that I wanted?
I'll trade you.
Oh my God.
That's a little, yeah. my voice is a bit scary, a little bit, but that's just because I'm, yeah.
So you're writing a book on necromancy.
Right.
But your experience with tarot.
Oh, right, sorry. So right before I moved to China, I was doing tarot, and it was a moment where I was sort of convincing myself that this would be fine. Everything's going to be fine. I'm not scared at all. This isn't weird. And I did a nice reading where I think the devil came up. And I was like, right, I am worried. Great.
That's a pretty scary card.
Thanks, devil. Yeah.
The tower. Like,
the tower
pretty much everything you know is going to be destroyed. Just go with it. You can build again.
Right.
And you're like, huh,
well, that's what I like about the tower. It's sort of like, heads up. Productive friction's about to enter your life. You're about to shed a lot of things that I guess you don't need because you'll still be alive, so it's fine. But
unless the death card comes up, and then you might just be.
Well, that's sort of like the fun ambiguity of the death card because it's sort of
it's so hopeful.
Yeah,
people are like, "Oh, scary!" And it's like it's a blank slate.
Exactly, things change. Just big old change.
It can be this thing in your life is going to pass, like, but transition into something else.
Right, it's like Bob Dylan says, a hard rain's gonna fall. Is that a dated reference yet? I don't even. People still listen to Bob Dylan, right? Sometimes.
Yes, there's some people I think that still listen to solid Bob Dylan their repertoire.
He had some really great albums, and then he made a Christmas album, and that was a mistake. But we all make mistakes.
But sometimes you make mistakes because you think there's money in it. Most people who have any sort of fame in the music world will record a Christmas album because then you make a lot of money at Christmas
right.
every year, forever.
That makes a lot of sense. And in his defense, the video for Must Be Santa, Must Be Santa Claus is a raucous good time. not really magic related, though Santa Claus himself is a very strange occult figure, possibly drawn from Teutonic lore and the figure of the wanderer, traveler, wise old hermit guy.
Who is in a tarot card?
Except, huh? Oh.
The hermit?
Yeah.
A solid tarot card.
Whoa, we just came full circle driven by. So tell me about the hermit tarot card. What's its deal?
Oh, gosh.
Like I said, it's been years and I always had to go straight to the book whenever I was even like, I would do readings for other people and go straight to the book, and it kind of lessens your credibility.
I think it's a cop out, but I think it's a valid one, because I would always be like, here's the book, have fun, because then I don't have to do any work.
Well, it's just like, it's too important to get it wrong.
Possibly. So the hermit for me, my brain went immediately to the fairy deck.
Okay.
In which the hermit is the sage, and it's wisdom, hidden knowledge, retreat, old age, patience. And it's that archetype of the shaman, that guy that retreats from people so that he can come back and like help people.
Right.
That connection to the other world is pretty critical. You have to go through some experience, isolation, food deprivation, sleep deprivation, drug induction, like some experience that connects you to something that other people don't have that experience. And then, therefore, you have access to things that they don't have.
Right.
I think, I don't want to sit and read the book because we just talked about that.
Right. Well, actually, since we're about halfway through the show, I think we should probably get to some of these questions that people have submitted.
Ooh.
And so I submitted these questions to our research department and worked up some answers. But you are full of knowledge, Swan. So jump in every time, all the time. Share your wisdom with these wonderful seekers. And I'm also going to try to play some music under this and really hope this works, because the CD player has been – either the CD or the CD player have been acting – almost in a so there's Shufflemancy, which is playing shuffle on your iPod and trying to use that as a form of divination. Just throwing that out there.
It's so funny, because as a Mormon, that was something that one of my teachers discredited, of like, oh, you heard this certain song at this specific time, it means nothing. And I'm like, oh wait, I've totally heard songs at a specific time that have changed my life, or at least in that moment, like, oh, I'm okay now, when
right?
I wasn't before.
It's like, so Josh Homme once said, sometimes when you're sad, you just need a song that sort of sits down in the curb next to you, lights two cigarettes and hands you one and says, gosh, it is that bad.
Thank you.
I like a lot. Josh Homme's the best. Anyway, so, first letter here. Dear Into the Dark, do I really have to eat someone's heart in order to absorb their power? Seems so messy.
It is so.
It is. I'd like to come out. I don't know if I have the power or authority to speak on behalf of the entire Radio Free Brooklyn family, but I think I can say that we are all against cannibalism. Don't do it. It's bad news.
I've done a lot of research on it. I can understand why you would think you'd need to do it, but I don't think you actually need to do it.
So it's interesting. One resource I would turn anyone who's interested in this topic to is Greek Divination, A Study of Its Methods and Principles by W.R. Halliday, written in 1913. He was a lecturer at the University of Glasgow, and he really goes into the contradictory sources on this, because some people have thought that eating part of somebody else is a way of defeating them magically, but also it's a way of defending yourself from them magically. But so David Icke, who is noted for coming out and saying that he thinks the royal family of England is a bunch of reptiles from space, once said that a shaman he knew from Africa, he was that specific, the entire continent of Africa, he was somewhere from there.
That big continent.
It's like I think it might be the biggest one. Besides,
yeah. With
Asia
lots
bigger?
Of countries.
It's plumb full of them.
From somewhere there.
Somewhere in there, he said.
Carry on.
Thank you. So he said that shamans have warned that if you're going to eat your enemy's heart, you need to cook it through, or else there's a risk that you will become possessed by the person you have devoured.
Ooh.
So heads up, spoiler alert: don't get possessed by people you eat. And also important to remember: some cultures say it's the liver that is the source of someone's power, so that's the thing you're supposed to
eat.
But
I feel like this is more like a cultural differentiation, because when you are hunting an animal, For example, as a Native American, that was the way of being like, thank you for dying so that I could feed my family.
Right.
Don't quote me on this because I'm full of bullshit. But is this way of like saying, thank you for giving your life. I killed you. Now I'm going to eat your heart. And like, it was an experience. And I, growing up with a family of hunters, which people in New York may or may not understand, like, this, you just killed this beast. And it's either the most, I don't know, for my cousin is just under my age, so like 20s, late 20s, and in her early 20s, she shot an elk with a bow and arrow, and she told me that it was the most spiritual experience of her life, bringing down this powerful creature, and that she would never do it again.
So, did she say why she would never do it again?
Because it wasn't, in our day and age, it's not something that's necessary for our survival.
Right.
And I don't know. This is like a whole different conversation, but I really appreciate this concept of like, I just killed this thing. I need to make sure that it was worth it.
Yeah.
And whether that's by like eating its heart and thereby like consuming its power and its death is like sustaining my life, mm-hmm. or like making sure I'm not letting things go to waste, you know, whatever. Process that is for you. I think it's just being aware of the implications of your life, whether you're eating the heart of your enemy or choosing a different path.
And that's solid advice, I think.
Make sure you cook the heart because right. you really don't want to be possessed by your enemy.
Also, having dissected a raw heart in science class in seventh grade, that smell, it's a bad one.
It's pretty potent. Isn't that just the formaldehyde, though?
Oh, they weren't formaldehyde.
Oh, really?
I think my science teacher just went to a grocery store.
No way.
Maine is a great place with many resources for everyone. Okay, so we've got another question here. Dear Into the Dark, I know this maybe isn't in the spirit of the occult per se, but as a poor but creative and increasingly entrepreneurial grad student, I'm kind of wondering, is there any way we could use the dead to make money? Not by display, as in seances, which is sort of hackneyed and hasn't proved scalable anyway, but by actually affecting physical reality or dredging up useful information. Please advise, yours truly, Quinn. Well, Quinn, this is a very good question, especially because these are difficult days for everybody economically.
Mm.
And my one piece of advice to you would be that it is suggested in a lot of Central European lore that on certain days of the year, a blue flame will appear above buried treasure.
Mm.
This having been caused by ghosts.
What days
of the year? Oh, so a lot of, here's the problem. That day is St. George's Day, which is celebrated on a number of different days throughout the year by different groups. But there's one coming up in August. So on August, be sure to skulk about.
Be watchful.
Be watchful. Look for the blue flame, because that could be your blue flame of power and money and happiness and high fives.
What's the element if you burn it, it burns blue?
Copper, right? No, that burns green.
I'm curious.
Oh, man.
But I don't know the answer. I'm sorry.
I was technically a chem major for a while. I should remember this. Cobalt. Yeah. Cobalt, I think.
Anyways. You can Google it. Google knows everything.
Google knows everything. Also, if you want more information about these blue flames, check out The Return of the Dead, Ghosts, Ancestors, and the Transparent Veil of the Pagan Mind by Claude Lecteau. Also, if you want to help have the dead help you with your finances, just talk to them. Just say, hey, I'm here, I'm ready.
What do you think that relates to people that you knew who died? Like, say, for example, my grandfather. I'm like, hey, Grandpa, you're not here anymore, so you must be somewhere. You do that?
I don't, but that's because not a lot of people in my life have actually died.
Yeah, me likewise.
So I've been very lucky in this regard.
And yet we all have ancestors.
That's true. And I know so little about them. I've seen a photo of a great-grandfather, and I know he was Hessian. That's all I've really got.
The living ancestors I have, I'm not very impressed with, so I'm one of those people that doesn't appreciate where I come from.
Fair. Okay, we got one more letter to get through because we need to save time for I interviewed a rat and I don't want to lose that.
No, we need that.
It works so hard. Okay, so final question. Into the dark, what food do occultists eat in order to make them more occult? What food makes one?
Brews.
Say that again?
Brews. Like, fermented beverages, especially the yarrow beverage, would like induce visionary dreams and different experiences.
That is so cool. Okay, where is yarrow? Commercially available? Okay.
Oh, I don't know. My friends grew it in their garden and then fermented it themselves. because I grew up in Utah and then left the Mormon religion and then found pagans to be friends with.
Pagans are so friendly.
They're so friendly. And they'll give you yarrow brew and you're like, whoa. And they'll also smoke things. Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah. Okay. What's your answer to this question?
Oh, man, I have so many answers. So I'm going to post a link to a great alchemical food alchemy website that I found. But just so you know, for standard occult power, apples. Who would have thought? But apparently, really? Apples were given as gifts to Egyptian high priests. They were eaten at the celebration of Diana in ancient Greece. They are often eaten in the Wiccan feast of Samhain, which comes around Halloween. And here's a fun, you can do it at home. Cut an apple in half. There's a pentagram in there.
There is.
Also crabs. Those are pretty good. Also, cakes have a long history of being involved in the occult arts, especially in left-hand path, dark magic kind of stuff. Like Aleister cakes. Crowley used to, the most famous of the evil wizards of the last 200 years, used to swear by moon cakes, which were simple cakes that also included menstrual blood, because that's...
Because why not?
If it isn't gross, it isn't magic.
It's theirs. Why not use it for something like a delicious cake?
Yeah.
That makes me think, I read Trax, and she talks about crossing Australia on camelback, or like with a camel, and she talks about how she stopped wearing clothes and like her blood would just drip down her legs and then dry off and like kick up and like disappear, and she's like, and it was fine, and people are really grossed out by it, but I'm in the middle of the desert. Like, I don't care. So, you know, in the city you might have to be a little bit more creative to interact with your menstrual blood, but it's there every month.
Yeah, and it's, I mean...
Oh, my God.
It's there for you to do with what you
or
will.
Or your boyfriend, or...
Any, you know...
Or your roommates. You're like, hey, roommates, it's time for the monthly cake. Wink. And they're like, why do you wink at me when you say that?
So it's funny you should say that, actually, because there's also... I came across a love spell that just involves putting your own blood into a cake and feeding it to someone. And I assume you don't tell them.
You're like, here's this cake, by the way.
Here's a cake. I want you to eat it in front of me right
It's not socially
now.
Acceptable for me to say this, but I feel like I can trust you.
Oh, my God. Also, apparently, it's supposed to hurt when you bake the cake because it has your blood in it, like in a sort of like voodoo doll kind of way. Also, a great occult food that we should mention right now is cheese.
Ooh.
Cheese is ancient cheese.
Isn't it an aphrodisiac?
I'd say so.
It makes me so happy.
A cheese makes me happy, and it makes me just ready for any kind of adventure. Also, I should point out that there was a 2005 survey sponsored by the British Cheese Board that found that British brie caused cryptic dreams in men. That was a quote, cryptic dreams. Go on a spirit journey with
cryptic
British brie.
Cryptic defined in
they
terms.
They did not define that in
you
that
don't
survey.
Get it.
We are not at the epitome of science, unfortunately.
Was it there a second study that did the same...
I don't think these results have been verified yet.
Peer-reviewed.
Yeah, this is the British Cheese Board. They're outside of science. They're above science.
It's hard to study the occult in a legitimate way because it's occult.
Yeah. Well, that's part of the fun challenge.
Right.
But also, speaking about cheese, there's a kind of divination based in cheese called tiromancy. And this is a thing you can do at home. And there are three primary ways of doing this that go back to before recorded history. One of them is just to see cheese curdle and try to interpret the shapes.
Okay.
One of them is to write a bunch of potential answers to a question, you know, multiple choice, onto pieces of cheese and see which one molds first. The one that molds first is your correct answer. Or you can do what I did yesterday, and you can write potential answers to pieces of cheese. I'm sorry, potential answers to a question on pieces of cheese and present that cheese to a rat.
Which one will he choose?
And the one the rat chooses because of its latent... So that's sort of the twist of this. It's not that I interviewed a psychic rat. It's that all rats are psychic. You just need to give them the tools.
Animals are connected to a different realm of reality than we are. We could learn from them.
That's right. And actually, let's learn from one right now.
The anticipation is killing me.
Janice, is it cool if I say your name in the air? Okay, neat. And we're now going to talk to a black and white rat, mouse?
A rat.
Yeah. Rat. Does the rat have a name?
I call her Sheila.
Okay, cool. So we're going to talk to Sheila. And so the question of the day for Sheila is, who will win Monday's game between the Houston Cavaliers and the Bay State Warriors. So we have provolone in the shape of a W and a C, because I thought writing on cheese might be bad for the rat. Okay. So Janice is preparing the space for this important act of divination. The provolone with the W on it has fallen apart. This could affect the psychic abilities of the rat, which is interesting. So if this is wrong, we know why it happened. Because this incredibly sweaty provolone has... Okay, so that's the W in cage or tank. There goes the C. And now we have nothing to do but wait and see who Sheila knows is going to win tomorrow through the power of her latent psychic abilities. This is all incredibly exciting. Okay. So, how skittish is she?
I mean, I can try to grab her, and what? She'll probably stay okay for like a minute or two.
Well, I mean, we just want her to be comfortable enough to go and investigate this fine provolone, which I bought from the Associated Supermarket. Just a few doors down from this very establishment.
She's being so shy.
I mean, I'm scary. Also, I might smell like a cat a little bit.
Oh, uh-oh.
Another potential. So, like, if this just doesn't... If she picks the wrong team, there are so many reasons why. This is completely unverifiable, which is what makes it great. Okay, she's going for the Cavaliers. She's sniffing the Cavaliers. She's right on it, but she's pulling away. Oh, okay, she's going to the Warriors now. Oh, and now she's avoiding both of them and hiding under some straw. Maybe no one will win the basketball game. Oh, I forgot to ask. Sheila, who will win the basketball game tomorrow? The Houston Cavaliers or the Bay State Warriors? That's the question we're asking. I know that's probably why you were so hesitant to pick one. Oh, and she went right back to the Cavaliers. And she's between... Wait, did she take a bite? Oh, yep, she's bitten the Cavaliers. We have our choice. She picked the Cavaliers. Ladies and gentlemen, you heard it here first. On Monday's game, the Houston Cavaliers are going to beat the Bay State Warriors as determined by our psychic rat, Sheila. This is very exciting. Cool. Well, thanks, Sheila. You can keep both of those. Because I do not want to put my hand in your environment. Cool. Thank you so much.
Yeah, no problem. That was hilarious.
She was so nice, and everyone at Petland Discount in Greenpoint was super nice, including the lady in corporate I had to talk to get permission to interview a rat.
You went to a pet store.
I did, in Greenpoint, and they were super great and super helpful, especially the person there who helped me.
If you don't have access to animals, you can always find access.
Right, and also, I should mention, Sheila has been for sale for about a year. She's for sale right now, as far as I know.
Rat.
She's really cute.
If you like rats,
you should consider Sheila the psychic rat.
She'll help you.
Unless she gets it wrong, which could be my fault. Also, direct your angry letters to me about how I don't know the names of sports teams to intothedarkrfb@gmail.com. Because apparently it's Bay State Warriors? Golden State Warriors. It's Golden State Warriors. I don't know sports.
So you are talking to the wrong person.
So part of the magic of this is the magic of how little a person can know about basketball having grown up in the United States.
And still make widespread projections about basketball outcomes.
It's not Sheila's fault that I don't know about sports. So we've got one more segment left, but before we get to that, since we're kind of closing down, say, Swan, is there anything you want to promote right now?
Well, if you like the way my voice sounds, or you think that I sound interesting in my words, I have a show, Ink and Worm, All Things Reading and Writing, where I talk to people about the words behind the stories behind the words, basically people's relationships with reading and writing. And it's really fun. You should tune in. Radio Free Brooklyn, Sundays at 2. You can find me on all the socials, Swan Drishti, DRSTI, or Ink and Worm.
Fantastic. And you should listen to that show, because I think it's great. One man's opinion. Okay, so, like I say, if you have, if there are any occult topics you want us to cover, we'd be happy to do it. Just email us at that email address I've been mentioning a lot, or just Twitter at me, at Cooper Wilhelm. And the thing is, like, there's so many ways to do divination. We can't go over all of them in 1 hour. So, to give you a better sense of what's out there, I printed out a list of methods of divination from Wikipedia.
Ooh.
And I'm going to give you some choice excerpts from that list. And I found something appropriate for that. Occultomancy, divination by needles. Electromancy, divination by rooster sacrifice. Amniomancy, divination by placenta. Anthomancy, divination by flowers. Apantomancy, divination by chance encounters with animals. Arachnomancy, divination by spiders. Chaomancy, divination by aerial visions. Choriomancy, divination by pig bladders. Cresmomancy, divination by the ravings of lunatics.
I think the pig bladders was in the movie Stardust.
Really? We talked about that.
Ooh, we talked about it.
So I was on one episode of Ink and Worm that I loved a lot. Oh, actually, I was on two, wasn't I?
Yeah.
Sorry. And we talked about Stardust.
It's okay.
Oh, wait, we need to get through. There's some more of this. Dreeromancy, divination by the dripping of blood.
Ooh.
Gelomancy, divination by laughter. And we've also got Moleosophy, divination by blemishes. Myomancy, or Moromancy, divination by foolishness. And Oleogagmancy, divination by the howling of dogs. All right. So those are some many forms of divination, and you've got some homework tonight from our occult homework echelons. Go out, eat some cheese, tell us what dreams you have, report back to us at intothedark@rfb@gmail.com. Oh, man. Okay, so that's super exciting.
My dog sings opera if there's opera playing, but that's the only time she howls is if you sing opera.
Should we?
I don't think so.
Okay.
We haven't practiced.
Right.
And it's really loud.
The singing or the
The opera that to induce her to howl. Loud.
Fair enough. So since we've been talking about the I Ching and about tarot cards, where would you, if someone was interested in the I Ching in particular, where would you send them?
Ooh, I mean, the internet's a great resource for anything. You can find out how to do it with like a quarter or different coins. You can find interpretations of different hexagrams. You can find out, you know, changing lines, how to make your own hexagrams. Yeah, you can find books on the topic.
Okay, fair enough. And how do you feel about people who do tarot readings and I Ching readings professionally? Like, are those good resources to go to, or is that?
I mean, if you've never been exposed to it, it's just like anything else. If you've never been exposed to it, it's a great controlled way to just interact with something. And if you like it, your curiosity will drive where you go next.
I mean, that's sort of the key to all of this, is just let your curiosity drive you to where you are willing to go into these occult topics. Okay. Fantastic. You know what? We should do, I think, one more tarot reading, but can we do a card for you?
Yeah. Since I love that I've been really into the oracle cards lately, the animal and plants, I think as a byproduct of being in the city. Dear oracles, what should I focus on for the next week of my life? And we're going to draw a new card. And my card is wheat, which says, maybe time to stop working for a while and give thanks for the harvest of your life. Or you may be entering a phase of abundance, bringing you riches in your relationships and in your spiritual, creative, and material lives. That sounds pretty nice.
It does sound pretty great.
Yeah.
Are there any, so we've been getting a lot of positive things from these cards.
Yeah. sometimes there's some scary stuff that comes up.
What's like the scariest card you've picked out in like sort of in terms of the context? Well,
I think it's true to life. I think it's like sometimes the answer is no. And you're like, oh, but I really don't want it to be no. I'd rather have it be anything but no. And you fight against it. But the answer is no, that's not for you.
Have you ever openly resisted what you thought was sort of the product of a reading? Like, just said like, no, no, sorry, spirit world. I'm doing me.
I mean, you know, as true to most human beings, I'm very manipulated by the prospect of love. And so usually I'll like do a tarot reading and it's like, this relationship isn't going to end well. And I'm like, I'll show you.
I mean, in all fairness, do any relationships end well? I feel like the ending of a relationship.
Some people have really great relationships they end either really like mutually beneficial or they end in like they're still together.
Yeah. I mean, just look at Jack and Meg White, I guess. They got divorced and then that band just kept going. And I think they won a Grammy post-divorce, and that's a sign. That's what breaking up can do.
Well, I think there's this hyper-focus on relationships. I think on like a dating relationship, everyone that's in your life is you have a relationship with them. So basically, if you're building healthy relationships in general, the romantic relationships will come and they'll be healthy and happy.
That seems like sort of what we had from the I Ching earlier about sort of becoming your best self.
Yeah, be the person you wish you could date, and then the person you wish you could date will appear.
I'm kind of thunderstruck by that statement, because I'm
practically perfect. I totally date myself. I'm shaking my head.
I mean, I don't know if I have the time to date myself, if that makes sense. Does it? I don't think it does.
I think you need to date yourself first before you can date other people.
That's right. You need to date yourself and break up with yourself before you can break up with other people.
Have a wonderful experience. Get to know yourself. Tell yourself it's not going to work out.
Yeah. That's really, yeah. Just practice all difficult conversations and life moments in the mirror and sort of say, how am I reacting to me?
Do you do that?
I don't for the most part.
I don't do that.
Though I do occasionally mutter to myself in the shower if I have to like think, how am I supposed to phrase this complicated thing?
I journal.
That seems really helpful. actually, well, we've only got about 2 minutes left on the episode, but I wanted to ask you, this is not related to divination. This is for me. This is satisfying my own curiosity. So river writing, what is that?
Seated in poetry, free write based on the line or concept that's standing out to you. You just let it flow. Pen to the page, keep going, keep going, keep going. If you get stuck, go back to that first line that stood out to you. And it's a great practice if you're feeling blocked. And it's also spontaneous creativity. If you have 10 minutes, sit and write for 10 minutes.
Nice. Actually, I feel like this has been the big obvious question. I just hadn't thought of it till just now. Writing and tarot, or writing and the I Ching, do they have a relationship for you?
Yeah. Every time I did it, I journaled about it. Still do. And if you get an app, every app is going to have a place for you to journal about it.
Really?
Straight up.
That's a fantastic feature.
It's really handy.
It sounds great. Okay. Well, everyone, thank you so much for listening to our first episode. I think this was, I had a great time.
Thank you for inviting me.
Thank you so much for coming. I'm so excited to have like a big heavy hitter like for the first episode. And thanks for listening. Check us out next month. And please send your questions to intothedarkrfb@gmail.com or twit at me.
Twitter
like a bird.
I twit you.
See, that sounds like the beginning of like a fight in Shakespeare. do you twit at me? I twit, sir. But do you twit at me, sir?
Yes, I do.
Fantastic. Okay, well, thanks everybody for listening, and stick around for the next show that's coming up, because Radio Free Brooklyn is amazing, and you're listening to Radio Free Brooklyn right now. Keep doing that, because it's a great choice to make. Have a great day, everybody.